We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1
Amp Radio.
Commercial free Mondays.
Mac Miller, at the age of 26, rap star, unfortunately overdosed and died this last Friday. Anybody that had any love or respect, including fans of Mac Miller, had a very difficult week in trying to process this. And what I saw that was extremely unfair is how many people on social media were even throwing blame at Ariana Grande.
Oh, yeah. She had to disable her comments on her on her social media, her Instagram, because people were just relentless.
They were together for about 2 years, and when she finally broke it off, you know, she quickly went on with and started dating Pete Davidson. Now they're engaged. And beyond that, though, one of the reasons why they broke it off, and she mentioned, is because of substance abuse within the relationship with Mac Miller that he was having, right? And this brings up this question for you. And I know a lot of you have gone through this or probably going through it right now. If you're in a relationship with someone who's battling with substance abuse, okay? Obviously, you love them. You want to be there for them.
Trying to support them as much as you can.
You want to help them out because that's what relationships are about. You support each other, right? But when is it okay to say enough is enough and you leave?
And do you. Because at some point, Ariana had to say, like, this relationship is not for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I've tried to be here. You need to find your own. I mean, that's the thing with addiction. You got to find your own want and need and desire to be clean and to, you know, whether that's rock bottom or not. So for someone else who's along for the ride, at some point, if you see that lack of effort, I mean, you got to be able to say, I got to do me. I love you, but I got to do me.
When is it okay to leave? Do you leave? And if you do leave, do you completely disconnect from that person? Right? Because that's another thing. It's like, okay, we're no longer together, but anything you need, still call me. You still have access for me and so on and so forth. Shoot us a call or text 877-971-HITS. 877-971-HITS. We really want to talk about this because I believe this situation happens a lot more than what we truly see, because people try to hide a lot of things.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're in this social media situation where every picture that goes up, our relationship is awesome. Everything's great. You know what I'm saying? But in reality, we know that there are challenges. Mm-hmm. When is it okay to say goodbye and be out?
Well, I think the situation with Ariana and Mac, it's so unfortunate for a couple reasons. One, I've gone through this part of losing someone to a heroin overdose, my cousin Dylan, and it's heartbreaking every day. And I get so fired up, so furious when I see these addiction situations where someone loses their life, someone young too. My cousin was 24, right. Mac is 26. Like, there's so much more of their life.
It's an epidemic,
and it's awful to see people wrestling with these things that can get out of control. And once you're on the substance, you can't think clearly.
Right.
Whatever those demons were get bigger and bigger and use more and more. And I think the unfortunate thing for Ariana is, When an overdose death happens, we're always looking for a reason why. Why did this happen? Yeah. Why? There had to be a reason, right? And so then you look at her and Pete Davidson's relationship. And then I think people can go back. Everyone's been heartbroken. And we could all go, oh, man, now I'm looking at it like Mac must have been devastated. But that's not Ariana's fault.
No.
Even though she is totally allowed to move on with her life. And yeah, Pete Davidson and her, they came on strong. But that is not her. No. That is not her and Pete's burden to be like, wait a minute, we should keep this under wraps because this might affect my ex in a negative way. So I don't know what kind of relationship Ariana and Mac had versus in terms of like communication.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what that would mean.
Well, when he got in his DUI right after their breakup, Ariana did make a statement because everyone was blaming her then too. And she said, she goes, I can't be his babysitter. Like, you know, so obviously there were many issues because of substance abuse and the fact that she said that that's why she left him. But I think from my my experience with addicts, it's like there's no gray area, you know? I think for her, the question of do you stay in contact with them after, when do you leave? It's like, I think you kind of have to come to a point where you say you're going to do something about it or you're not. And if you're not, I can't be here for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, it feels like it's a black or white thing you have to do.
When is it okay for you to leave a relationship if the other person that you're with is battling with substance abuse? Do you stay in touch if you do leave? And for me, I think it's anytime you start getting abused by that person, whether it be physically or psychologically, verbally, you name it. Therefore, you have every right to be out, in my point of view. You know what I'm saying? I would love to hear your stories, though. 877-971-HITS is a number to call or text.
Well, it's staggering. Like, we're talking about this thing over and over and over again, and I think what's driving me absolutely crazy as someone who's lost someone in their life to heroin is that we have this, like, window of time. Couple days, everybody, oh, hopefully something good comes out of this Mac Miller overdose, hope, like that optimism, but that window is so small, and then we go back to not talking about it until someone else overdoses, which will keep happening unless people really get active in, you know, in putting out resources for people who are struggling with addiction.
And this brings up the question, because unfortunately, a lot of people on social media were blaming Ariana Grande, Mac Miller's ex, for him overdosing, which is terribly wrong for them to do, because it's not her fault. But they dated, she broke up because one of the reasons being because of substance abuse, and now has moved on and engaged. But my question for you today is, if you're in a relationship with someone who's battling with substance abuse, when is it, or if ever, is it okay to say bye?
And how do you do that?
Like, And what are our texts saying before we go to our phone lines, Brian?
I got a text from
877-971-HITS.
From the 626, I was with someone who coped with their mental illness with drinking. Once the alcoholism spilled over to when I had my daughter and affected her life, not just mine and his, I was out. So I'm getting a lot of texts from people that, like, once they become a parent and they realize there's more than just one, the person with the addiction's life at stake, the people are really cut. Like, that is a hard line for them to be like, I got to get out of here. We got one from Danielle. It said, I dated a heroin addict on and off for 2 years. And the feeling I always had was that he would hurt himself if I left him, even though I was miserable in the relationship. Ultimately, it was his decision to get clean. And I had to tell myself that it was never my fault.
And I think a lot of times, without them even realizing, but that's a tactic people will use, they're abusing a substance, to keep somebody there.
Right.
If you leave, I don't know what's going to happen, and it's going to be your
Put
fault.
Put the blame on them,
And it's really tough to say goodbye, right? Nelly from Fontana, good morning.
Good morning.
Nelly, have you ever experienced being in a relationship with somebody that was struggling with substance abuse?
I have. I've actually done both sides, as a girlfriend and as a substance abuse nurse.
Thank you so much for calling in then. When is it okay to say, I'm out of this relationship, and not feel guilty that you're stranding somebody you love while they're battling with substance abuse?
Well, I think regardless of, you know, when, there's always going to be some element of guilt, because that person needs you and you feel like you should be there for them.
Right.
But it's okay to leave whenever you as a non-using person is uncomfortable. If that's one line or one drink or one joint or 1,000, whenever you as a non-using person is uncomfortable, it's okay to go, because you never stay clean and sober for someone else. If you could start out that way and say, okay, well, I'm going to do this for my kid, or I'm going to do this for my spouse, but you don't stay that way.
You have to do it for you.
If you have to do it for you, and there's nothing that you as a partner is going to do to help them realize that. They have to realize that for themselves.
Got it. And do you recommend staying in touch with that person after you leave them?
Sobriety itself is a difficult process, even if you aren't in love with somebody. But then you compound it with the fact that, like, you're trying to coach someone through it, and there's, like, those feelings of breakup and love and stuff. Now you're dealing with two, trying to get over two things.
Yeah.
Addiction, which is kind of a biological component, and then you also have this, like, heartbreak. And
you're
you want to be there, but also, like, are you making it more difficult by staying involved?
True. Being a crutch for that person, right?
Exactly.
Nelly, thank you so much for calling in. We love you. Thank you for the work you do working with people with substance abuse as a nurse.
I love you guys. I listen every morning.
Love you too, Nelly.
Thanks.
Bye. Athena from Long Beach, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in, Athena. I have here on my notes that you're a forensic psychologist. What's your take on this? When you're in a relationship with somebody that you love, that you care for, but they're battling with substance abuse, you've tried to do everything within your power to help them out, but when is it okay to leave?
You know, that's a really, really complicated and difficult question to answer. I mean, there's a fine line between enabling someone and supporting them.
Wow.
And that's the hardest thing for family members. Like, at what point are you enabling them in their addiction?
Right.
And for family members, you know, the last thing you want is to feel like you've contributed to your loved one dying. But at the same time, you don't want to worry about having the guilt of not being there.
I remember going through this with my cousin Dylan before he passed away from his overdose, and he'd been in and out of rehab, and it was like, you never know what the right decision is, right? Like, you can't just rip it off like a Band-Aid, because in your mind, you're like, what if I do that, and that's what gets him to the next level of overdose? Or what if I break away, and then that inspires him to get clean. And so you're always second-guessing yourself. Before you even do anything, mm-hmm. you're second-guessing yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's those what-ifs.
Yeah.
Those what-ifs are devastating.
That drives people crazy because, you know, it's catastrophizing. It's the what-if until the worst possible case scenario happens. And as a family member, I always recommend family members I work with, go get involved in Al-Anon. Mm-hmm. Learn about the disease of addiction. Learn how you can support that family member and how to set healthy boundaries with them right. without enabling them.
Athena, thank you so much for calling in and giving us your perspective as a psychologist. And I love what you brought up. You really have to ask yourself, am I enabling or am I being supportive?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, which one
Absolutely.
Is it here? So thank you so much, Athena. I really appreciate you calling. Have a great day.
You too.
It's unreal the amount of texts and the amount of phone calls that are coming in from people that have been through something like this, mm-hmm. bro. And I know that we're kind of known for being like that fun, positive mm-hmm. show and so on and so forth. But when an epidemic is hitting our generation and our culture like this, you can't ignore it.
Yeah, we have to talk about it, you know?
You feel me? And I want to go a step further in the sense of, once again, it's not necessarily your fault if somebody that's battling substance abuse, unfortunately, overdoses. Please don't take it that way. But at the same time, don't believe people's social media life. Really, just because you checked in and liked the picture,
right.
like, oh, they're good. They must be good. Like, really go above and beyond. Spend some time with friends. You know what I'm saying? Reach out, phone call, in person, and so on and so forth.
Like, what I'm gathering from looking at the call box right now and all the texts is that it's such a hard thing for everyone to deal with, whether you're supporting a family member or you are someone with addiction. It's a struggle on both sides. It's a battle on both sides that people have to, when you're an addict, you have to want to get clean. Mm-hmm. And when you're a family member, you have to know when is too much for you. And when, like we said, enabling versus support. And what I'm seeing is there's no roadmap. So don't ever feel like there's a quick fix situation. Mm-hmm. If you go to Al-Anon meetings, learn how to do that correctly. And also understand that it's going to be a fight. There's no quick, like, switch that you flip and everybody's good to go.
Yeah.
So one thing may work for somebody, may not work for somebody else.
Absolutely. And right now on our Instagram stories, we're posting up the number to suicide prevention, also drug and alcohol hotline. If you need help, please go at 97.1 Amp Radio. Suicide prevention is at 1-800-273-8255. And drug and alcohol hotline is 800-729-6686. Again, the info will be on our Instagram stories at 97.1 Amp Radio. Coming up next, we're going to invite Yessi Ortiz from our midday show to be on with us. She actually was hanging out with Mac Miller just a few weeks ago, having a pretty deep conversation with him about his future. Mm-hmm. And she was definitely shook and shocked. I'd like to welcome Yessi Ortiz.
Good morning, guys.
In the studio. You can check her out middays. Thanks for being with us, sis.
Thanks for having me on.
We caught up this weekend. After we were all shook by the, you know, the news that Mac Miller, at the age of 26, rising star, huge rap star, unfortunately died due to overdose. Mm-hmm. And you started telling me that you were just with him a couple weeks ago. And I think one of the questions that we all get, it's like, yo, man, what was going on in his life?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Or is there any way to know? Like, could you have known? I mean, I've gone through this before with my cousin, and you have no idea. But I think our knee-jerk reaction is always to be like, someone had to know this is happening. Someone had to be aware.
Yeah. Was there signs or this or that?
I think his parents definitely, his parents were backstage. So he introduced us to his parents. And
where was this at?
So this was at the Hotel Cafe in LA, in downtown area, Hotel Cafe. Mm-hmm. I think that's right? And, in Hollywood, I'm sorry. And, he had a show. It was private, intimate show. Mm-hmm. No more than 100 people there. I'm sorry. I get still very shook talking about it. I was here when the news broke, and I had to talk about it.
And you've known him since he was 18.
Yeah, since he was 18. I mean, I've been in this game for many years now, and majority of them being at a hip-hop station.
Yeah.
So getting to know him at that station, at that level, and working with him along the way with, you know, him coming by and doing interviews and things like that. So to get to see him at an intimate level, and already people were talking smack, you know, oh, is he going to talk anything about Ariana Grande on stage?
Right.
Is he going to say anything? Mm-hmm. And he was in a happier place. He was in a safe space, I think it was, for him just to be his vulnerable self on stage. And when we were backstage, he's like, this is my parents. You know, his parents were going on tour with him. Hmm. So, you know, he had just launched the release dates to his tour and his... We were talking about bringing him by amp. You know, mm-hmm. we were talking about around October 31st when he's at the Greek, like, let's bring him by amp mm-hmm. and let's do an interview and let's talk about it and see where your headspace and, you know, moving forward. And he was excited. And he was so excited about the album.
Why do you think his parents were on tour with him?
I think that's telling a lot.
Support. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's support.
I think because, your parents can always tell, like, you know, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. And your parents can look at you, hear your voice and be like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we'll be there for you because it's going to be a huge emotional tour. And you're right. Like, every time, like, the last 7-8 months, every time something comes up, they're like, what about Ariana?
Right.
What about that?
Right, right. And it's like, yo, it's not about her right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not about her. And his parents were there. And I said, oh, Mom, are you excited to be going on tour? And she was just like, yeah, you know, she had this unassured, not really sure yet.
Hesitation.
Yeah, this hesitation to say yes. And they were just being there with Mac and being very supportive and just watching his every move. And, you know, you could just see the parents. You know, if you're a parent, you see the worry in their eyes.
Yeah.
And concern and love.
Unfortunately, we're seeing this epidemic hit up, you know, our youth, and especially artists in their early 20s. And, you know, you've known him since he was 18. And if you're just tuning in, Yessi Ortiz is in studio with us from our midday show, talking about the last time she spoke with Mac Miller, who overdosed and died this past Friday. And so, which was about 3 to 4 weeks ago that you were with him,
in case
you just tuned in. But you've seen them come up, right? So what change did you see in someone like Mac Miller when he's just starting to now? The pressure is different.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just starting, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Right.
Right.
Now you're established, things are going well. Did you notice a difference in him?
You really don't, because he was always such a happy, go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
He was always so happy. He was always so just very grateful and showed gratitude when he walked into the building. He was always just so excited to see everybody.
Right.
And when I saw him backstage, you know, it was like, couple years that he was dating with Ari, right? They were dating. So he wasn't really doing a lot of promo. I think that was just because, like, I'm in the studio, I'm dating my girl, I'm in my, you know, living my life.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him and everyone kind of have, like, walk in and be like, I wonder if he's going to say anything. And he didn't, and he was in a good space.
What was he looking forward to when you spoke to him?
His music coming out, his tour, him hitting the road, him having people listen to his album and give him feedback. And just how much love and passion he put into it.
Right.
And and just seeing the reaction to people.
Do you think this is necessary? One of the tweets that caught my attention this weekend came from J. Cole.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, besides, you know, much love, respect for Mac Miller's family, prayers, all that stuff, he literally made a call out to everybody in the industry and in this game. If you need somebody to talk to, if you need help, literally reach out to me personally. Mm-hmm. Because artists understand the pressure that artists go, especially in hip hop, and that they're going through. Do you see that there is a need for that? You're an OG of the game. Yes, you've been around for a long time. You've interviewed all kinds of hip hop artists. Do you, and not just hip hop, but just in general in music, do you think that's necessary maybe for something to be established among the artists to support each other more in that angle?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Like, there's so much that is needed because of that substance abuse that is just, it's just literally in a studio. I don't know if you guys ever just walked into a studio before, but
a music studio.
Yeah,
a music studio with an artist in a session, and there, you know, anything is
It's a buffet of whatever you want.
Some people, like, that's like part of their creative process, and they don't have those addiction problems. They don't have those things that can sneak up on you. And some people are just biologically predisposed to having addiction issues.
Right.
And you know, a lot of people have to find out the hard way.
And I won't call out any artist names, but I have definitely been one of those personalities along the way in my career that I've reached out to artists and I said, hey, how are you doing? I'm just checking in on you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because they've expressed to me certain things, or they told me certain things. And I'm thankful that they're still here, you know.
Yeah.
So we all just got to do our part some way, somehow, with each other, you know, and just continue to do that.
Yessi, thank you so much for taking time to tell us about that last experience you had with Mac Miller. And just to wrap this up, how would you like to remember him?
I still can't even process it, to be honest. Mm. I still can't even process it, but I'm always going to just remember and see his face smiling and laughing and loving and just being present in the moment backstage. So that's how I'll remember him. And I'm grateful for that.
Rest in peace, Mac Miller. Thoughts and prayers go out to his family and everybody that knew him and loved him.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Commercial-free Mondays.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.